better. According to a network of non-for-profit media outlets which published some stories, we see some conversations that about 57% of the 6.7 metric tons of rice consumed in Nigeria is locally produced. That means we still import about 33%. 43%, that should be. Now, this leads to a supply deficit of about 3 million metric tons, which we'll then import. Now, over 80% of locally produced rice comes from small-scale processors with a processing capacity of less than 100 tons. So we have small processors here and there. Despite being a staple for millions of Nigerians, farmers in Nigeria get far less from their land than other major growers in West Africa. That's very alarming. Now, you've been buying rice. I'm going to start off with you before I bring on my guest, who is an agripreneur. He's a rice farmer and works also with farmers. Now, do we have local rice in the market? Is the price better than foreign rice? Remember that the president had closed the borders, banned importation of foreign rice so that we can grow local production. You know, Nigerians threw up a tantrum and said, oh, can you ban rice? Where's the rice we're going to eat? You know, and all the works. But can you tell me, do you believe this has led to the growth of local production? Are things better now? 0700-993-993-993, female callers 01465-7190. My guest will join me on the show very shortly. Let's get started. Good morning, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Dotto. So I'm driving. I'm somewhere around Ogudu.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm actually going to speak from two perspectives. One from a consumer of locally made rice.
Okay.
And two from a stakeholder, because I apparently happen to work in a rice mill.
Ah, fantastic. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So two things. You see, producing locally made rice, it's actually a very interesting sector.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of Nigerians consume rice and a few information about locally made rice that they don't know. Like
rice.
I said earlier on, I happen to work in a rice mill, and our rice mill is located in Bida, Niger State.
Okay.
Now, the truth is this. Besides wheat milling, we also are interested in growing the rice patch ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is, we are also involved in agriculture too. We have a rice farm.
Okay.
Now, it might interest you to know that our rice mill is a 36 metric ton capacity. And with that capacity, for us to mill a batch of rice, we need 36 tons of paddy to mill a batch of rice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to agriculture, to farming, in a highly industrialized, mechanized farming situation, when you farm a hectare of land, the highest yield you get is 3 metric tons.
Hmm.
That is after between 4 and 5 months of intensive farming.
Hmm.
And currently, like I said earlier on, we are farming. Currently,
okay,
the cost of us farming a hectare is between 375,000 naira and 420,000 naira to farm a hectare.
Mm.
Now, when you farm a hectare, you will get 3 metric tons, that is in 4 months, minimum of 4 months, maximum of 5 months.
Mm.
You will get 3 metric tons of rice if it is highly mechanized farming.
Mm.
In some cases, for sustenance farming, like in Nigeria, the highest you get is 2.5 metric tons and 2 metric tons.
So have you been running at a loss doing this business?
Well, basically, as a stakeholder, I wouldn't say we are running at a loss.
That means you're making profit.
Because if we're running at a loss, we won't continue to be in business.
That means it's good business, right?
It's a very good business.
All right. Thank you very much. I have another call on the line. I hope he's still here. Oladipo, hello.
Good morning, Wemimo.
Good morning. Thank you for holding on.
This is Pastor Oladipo calling from Orilego.
Thanks for calling.
You see, truly we have a local rice in the market, but those local rice, if you are going to get them now, I'm telling you, the process of preparing it is even more difficult than cooking beans.
Really? Why?
Yes. I'm telling you, you have to parboil and parboil, pick the stones, pick this and that. So for me...
Is that still the, so?
Yes. The thing is this, eh? The other ones that is not so much as hard as that is as expensive as the foreign rice.
Hmm.
So that is the difference.
All right, I hear you. Let me take one more call and then I'll go on to my guest. Bye. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, you're welcome. What's your name?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Joy.
All right, Joy.
Okay, yes. Concerning the rice that you four are talking about, mm-hmm. I want to come in the angle of the cost. Now, before 2015, rice was like $5,000 that would buy a bag of rice. And as we speak now, rice is about $24,000. So what an average man wants to know is, why is the cost of rice this expensive?
Right.
As it is now that Nigerians are producing rice locally, we are supposed to be enjoying cheaper rice.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Venezuela, if you go to Indonesia, these rices there, or India, the rices are cheap.
Yes.
Now, this government has been in power for like, going for like 8 years now. And we still buy rice expensive.
Mm.
And now the locally produced rice that we say, that we talk about here, you have a lot of, what's it called, sand in it. And is it supposed to be like that? We
good
have
question.
Sand. Now, you should leave people, if you want to produce rice, make it better. Let it be able to compete with what we have all over the world.
Well, I have one of those who does this right here with me, joining me on the show right now. Oye Rinde Adeniyi is of Life Max Agritech Limited. He's a strategic thinker and an agripreneur. He works on the enterprise development along the agriculture value chain. Good morning and thanks for joining the show.
Good morning.
Your video is off. Do you want to turn it on?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly. I can hear you.
Okay, let me work on the...
Okay, while you do that, I'm sure you heard my listener who asked quite a number of questions about rice and some of their comments also. Now, let me start off by asking you, you possibly saw the video that went viral. It's everywhere. We'll be showing it to you if you're watching on Facebook and YouTube right now. It's a video that shows Loretta Onoche, who is a media aide to the president 2 days ago, spotted showing off numerous rice pyramids and thanking both Nigerian farmers and the president for making it happen. These pyramids look quite intimidating. I was like, woo, we have all of this rice. Wow, now maybe I can get it back for 7,000. But what's going on? You're a farmer. What's up with those pyramids?
Thank you for having me on air.
Yes.
Interestingly, I was in Abuja last week. So as I think I was on my way to Lugbe to the airport, I saw those pyramids too. Are you with me?
I'm with you. I can hear you.
I saw the pyramids too. I was partly excited, but the truth is that, can that pyramid feed Lagos for 1 month?
No, so I think a good question would be to pick one local government and ask if it can feed one local government.
You know, it's good, it's beautiful, but can it really feed Lagos for a month? Let us just put it as that. That was the question I asked. I asked that question before seeing the video. I saw the video. It's good. Any progress should be celebrated.
Hmm.
Any progress should be celebrated. Fine. I don't have issues with that. But also, truth should be spoken to power and to reality. That. Hmm. The increase in production or storage, as it were, that we saw there, does it translate to any increase or reduction in the cost of people buying it on the streets in Nigeria? Those are the truth we have to begin to speak to ourselves. Three, another thing is, even when there's increased production, does it match increase in consumption? You are consuming maybe three bags of rice, maybe weekly, and then you are producing 1.5. You have not increased to one. You are just increased to 2. It will not match, and definitely cannot reflect in the cost of in the price being crushed from the market.
I'm going to talk about the pricing because that's a very important factor. What most Nigerians want to know is that there is quality rice and that it is cheap if it's produced locally. That's all they want to know. But this conversation will go a bit beyond that to show behind the scenes how it works for you as a farmer, you know, in terms of growing this rice. So personally, I mean, do you believe that things are better in the production of rice? I would have you take us through the process, but I have a break coming on and I don't want to interrupt you. So I'm going to let you talk about that when I return from the break. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. Today we're discussing local production of rice and I'm asking you if you have seen the impact. Those pyramids, particularly in the video, Loretta Onoche was saying, I quote, "Everyone should come and see this. This is marvelous. This is wonderful. I've been hearing about it over the last few weeks. And then today I'm so delighted to be here. Look at this." She waved her hand. "They are all rice. God bless Nigerian farmers. God bless Baba Buhari. Say Baba Buhari." I'm quoting her from that video. "This is made in Nigerian rice. It is not foreign. It is not from China or Thailand. This is original rice from Nigeria with flavor and good taste." Let's give you some more good taste when we come back from the show, right? Don't go away. This is the Morning Cross Fire. My name is Wemimo Adewunye. We'll be right back. Stay here. This is the Morning Cross Fire. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back. My guest is still here. Oye Adeniyi, he's an agripreneur. We're talking about rice. I love those pyramids. I really wish that it was a reflection of the truth about rice in Nigeria and how accessible and affordable rice would be. All right, before the break, we were talking about the back-end work in producing rice. So run us through this process. For a local producer, what's the back-end like? What we see are the bags of rice. Does it have stone or is it clean? What does the back-end look like?
Basically, the back-end is on two fronts. The production of rice paddy, which is the rice unprocessed. Then from there, it goes to the milling. It goes through milling processes. So there's the farmer who goes on the land to plant, to tend to the farm itself, and then who would now harvest the paddy. That's phase one. The next phase is like the other man. Who I think somebody spoke earlier about being a miller.
Yes.
Then the milling companies now buy the paddy rice and process it to become the rice everybody eats. So rice, unlike other crops, has like two major fronts: the production on farm itself and the milling side. The problem we're even having much more is even, well, interestingly, we have challenges on the two sides, on the farm and from the millers. On the farm is because the issues we have from the farm end of rice production is that Nigeria, a greater percentage of those who produce agricultural products in Nigeria or produce are smallholder farmers. So many of them have less than 1 hectare of land to produce from. The truth is that how can you who still run small farms compete with those who have economic of skills, who are into producing thousands of hectares of land? That our challenge begins from that place, number one. Number two, presently as we speak, the cost of agricultural input is crazy. You can't believe that between October and December last year, some agricultural inputs have moved by 100%.
Wow.
So I mean, I'm even scared of production of this year, 2022, because some things have gone crazy. To speak about us reducing the price is even almost non-existent now, because the cost of input has skyrocketed.
Please say that again. Why? Your line went wobbly. What did you say in your last sentence?
The price inputs, which is the herbicides, the chemicals, the fertilizers, not even those fertilizers, the chemicals used either to prevent weed or insect, as some is almost like between 50 to 100% increase. And once that happens, definitely it will reflect in the cost of production, which is even from the first place where the rice is being produced, which is the farm, before we now go to the millers. Now, so we have issues with that, which come from the quality of the producer, which is smallholder farmers. We have very few large-scale producers by farming itself. That's a link on its own. And even at that, the cost of buying input is crazy. It's crazy. On that note, that's the problem. Then going to the milling side of it, small millers also have critical issues because they don't have the equipment to remove the stones and make the rice have the luster of those imported. We have small producer, we have big producer. The cost of setting up a mill and running it is also crazy. You know the way electricity runs in Nigeria, where you have to use diesel, and diesel is not stable. Therefore, how do we achieve what is called a consistent pricing in this regime? It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. You see, it's like a hydra-headed challenge.
You've given me quite a number of challenges here. Let's talk about the funding that the government has put into agriculture. There's the most popular, that's the CBN's anchor borrowers program. Remember also that the government banned importation of rice and rice imports so that we can focus on local growth. So have you benefited from the anchor borrowers program, and how effective would you rate this as a farmer?
Personally, for rice, no, I have not benefited from it, from that. But there are also some truths in this anchor borrower challenge. There are a few challenges. The cost, I am not in the know of it at large, but what I know, for example, there are some internal workings on this anchor borrower program that is not making the farmers to benefit from it. Seriously.
How?
For example, instead of the money getting straight to the farmers, there seems to be some middlemen who go to procure the input for the farmers at higher cost. So what? Yes, I tell this. These are the little information I have. I'm not saying that is what happens everywhere, but the little information I have shows that some places the money or the input does not go straight to the farmers. There are also people who collect it first, give it their own backup before getting to the farmers. Therefore, the cost of production is not being reduced. Therefore, definitely the cost of purchase cannot reduce.
So you're telling me that Nigerians should not look forward to buying cheaper, locally produced rice in any near future?
I won't say any near future, but in 2022.
That's the near future.
I mean,
that's the nearest future.
Okay. Maybe you'll have said nearest future.
That's a whole year. And right now, rice costs between 24,000, 27,000 thereabout for a bag of rice. I mean, it's practically the same thing for local, for local and for foreign rice. I barely even see the local rice around anymore. What's going on in that respect? Okay. The line is hanging. So let me go on to the phone lines. You've heard it. He has told you, at least for 2022, forget it. There might just be no reduction. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Breaking up. Okay, it's back. Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, so I was asking why we don't even have the rice right now. I mean, in the market, most of the bags of rice I see are foreign imported rice. Although we banned importation of rice, but our markets are flooded with imported rice.
There are too many things killing this in Nigeria. Policy, inconsistency to policy. There are policies, but are they being enforced? Most of the things we use here are imported. The active ingredients are imported. The cost, the naira to dollar rate is high.
Yeah.
Those who bring the chemicals, what do you expect them to do?
So overall, if you're going to be fair, as a Nigerian citizen, let's put aside that you're a farmer right now. As a Nigerian citizen, you believe that it's better to ban importation of rice? Well, I mean, when you import everything you need to grow the rice here and the cost is almost the same or even more, isn't it better to just import the rice? Do you think that's a better option overall?
It can never be a better option because you're actually exporting your money.
But you're still exporting your money, buying all the farm, whatever, products and whatever you need to grow the rice. Can't we produce these things here to make them cheaper?
We need to grow. We will have to do a lot of work to begin to produce those things. No country is an island on its own. Every country depends on the other for trade agreements and co, which is true.
Mm.
But the issue is that there are a lot of factors that they are supporting factors that makes the production of rice bigger. For example, let's also speak to another thing that we are not even doing: irrigation. We do more of rain-fed agriculture in Nigeria than all-year-round agriculture. Rain-fed is that we only wait for the rains before we produce.
Hmm.
Yet, tropics are the only part of the world that have the capacity to produce all-year-round. I look at it as water. And there's almost nowhere in Nigeria there's no water body.
Yes.
But there's almost nowhere.
So why are the farmers not making use of irrigation? What are you waiting for?
It's a bit costlier to produce by irrigation because you need to get the machines and you need to get the pumping power. And it's a bit costlier. There about 2, 3, 4 years ago, I went to Mokwa, is between Mokwa and Kwara. There's this place where what's this called? I will remember the name. Okay. Where sugarcane was being produced. I saw some farmers that came from Kebbi to be producing rice there. They just dig into the ground. But I asked the locals, why are you not producing like them?
Mm.
They said they don't have the money to produce. They don't have the money to finance irrigation because irrigation production is a bit more expensive.
Hmm.
You need to buy fuel to pump and other things to have the tube wells if it is not like the one that is flowing. So irrigation, it's the setup of irrigation system is a bit costlier.
Hmm. So if it's costlier, that might mean that overall the cost of rice will even go higher. I mean, if it costs more to produce, you have to make up your money.
Well, the good thing is that as at that time they are producing their rice and it's coming out, generally rice cost is higher at that time. So you make up they make their money from scarcity.
All right, let me take a few calls. The lines are buzzing, they're on fire. Everyone wants to talk about rice because if there's no rice at home, it's practically like there's no food in the whole house, at least here in Nigeria. All right, we're back on the lines. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is my friend.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, you see that woman or that person that was explaining that rice?
Yes.
By the time the money they pay her to do that, by the time the money run out, she will come out again to conference. Because, see, about that year, I don't have money, but I can confess to you, since 2015 that they banned curry rice. I have never eaten, my family have never eaten local rice, so. We don't eat local rice.
Why? Is that because you can't find the local rice or you just don't like it?
It's not in our area, yeah. We can't find it. Everywhere you go, where we know it's foreign rice now.
Yeah,
and it's expensive. But what do we do?
Yeah, thank you very much. You're correct. I mean, I buy rice in bags. And when I go to the rice shop, all the bags I see, they're all foreign rice. I ask, so where is the local rice? You know, they just keep... Good morning, hello?
No, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Madam, if the local rice to me, that's what I eat too, because of health reason. There's no starch in it. That pyramid, did you notice that they first of all built a cone with woods
and then arranged the
before
rice
before they
top.
Started building placing the rice bags of rice on it.
Mm.
When we're growing up, there are no pyramids. From the base to the tip,
hey.
It's all granite pyramid. So why are they doing this? Who are they deceiving? Like they rightly said, I just pray all that is there are local rice. because I don't even trust this government. They lie, the propaganda, they do all sorts. If you go and look, maybe some seized rights from customs must have been rebagged and replaced there.
Good morning. Nigerians, I've even had some people tell me, are you sure it's not stones that are in those bags? I mean, Nigerians don't believe, you don't believe. Good morning, hello?
Hello, good morning.
Welcome to the show, what's your name?
Okay.
Are you there?
You said?
What is your name? I can hear you.
Yeah, my name is James.
All right, James, go ahead quickly.
Yeah, I would like to speak on the rice.
Okay.
You see, I want to see the rice production in Nigeria as in the space priority. In the world today, what rank is Nigeria among rice producing nations? And what rank is Nigeria among cassava producing nations? Cashew producing nation, cocoa producing nation, and the likes. We don't need to force ourselves into what is not that we cannot achieve it. I have invested into rice before. I couldn't make my money. You understand? But if today you want me to invest into cassava, corn, cashew, I will, because I know I will make my money. Nigeria dictates price of cashew. So for me, I think government needs to do more. You don't need to say you must produce rice.
Okay, I hear you. So if you heard his comment, you're a broad agriculturist, you're an agripreneur, and you don't just do rice. He's suggesting that we have misplaced priority. I mean, if rice is not working, possibly Nigeria has other strengths in terms of agriculture that we could focus on. So maybe just, like you said, there's no country that's an island. So maybe just import the rice if it's cheaper, and then let's grow something else. What do you think?
Why can't Nigeria produce rice? Why? We've got all it takes to produce rice in the form of land. We have the arable land.
Mm-hmm.
We have the climate with the weather. We've got everything. So why not? But let me tell you some things that I think we need to begin to address now. I may go a little bit against the contrary or against the popular opinion. Nigeria has a population demography of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I studied agriculture in the university. Of my class, graduated set of my class, I think a little bit less than 10% of us are into agriculture. And I think it speaks to years of those who have been trained in school. Now, from those who are trained and those who have the passion for it, what does it cost or take for us to begin to look at young people or younger people who are educated to become agripreneurs properly? Because our production is actually in the hands of smallholder farmers. Smallholder farmers, I've trained in Kano, Katsina, Bida, Mokwa, Enugu. Smallholder farmers, as good as they are, which form of bulk of practicing agriculture, we have issues. They don't embrace technology, don't embrace good agricultural practices, and they are a bit difficult to work with. You know, as we are paying attention to them, I feel educated, learned people who can do modern agriculture should also be promoted to enter into mechanized farming, where we can do hectares of land in thousands, probably 10,000 hectares of land. Not like we have 500 hectares of land. How many people will it cover? We need to begin to look at production in scale.
Right.
We need to begin to look at production in hectares, not small. Let me use the word shukushuku production everywhere, which has been aggregated. It's an issue. I saw a report somewhere that says averagely, a Nigerian field produces 2 hectares, two tons per hectare, or sometimes lesser. In Asia, the average is about 4 tons per hectare. How do you compete with that?
So how are they able to have more yield? Why do they have more yield than we do in Nigeria?
Consistent training, non-stop. And there are also people that do big time farming there. They have consistent training. Consistent training, practicing of modern agricultural agronomic practices.
Mm.
And definitely irrigation is also there.
Okay, let me take a final call because our time is really fast running up. But I want to hear from a woman and have one on the line. Good morning. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Welcome to the show. You're my last caller.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Joy, it's okay. I really want to disagree with your resource person saying that youth should go into farming.
Okay.
The reason why they don't want to go into that is because actually it's not viable. If it's viable, people will go into it. It's expensive. As it has already told us before now, the diesel, everything to go into it is really expensive. You can't even buy the meal. So that is why they don't want to go into it. Not that maybe in me as a person, I cannot go into rice farming. And again, the ones that they produce in Thailand, we have a lot of locals that are doing it because the government already produced, make farming mechanized. So it is not about going to school, being educated and all that. You can say educated on being managers in those rice farming. Then you have the locals are the ones who are in the field farming. So I really do not understand why Nigerians think look at it is difficult. Meanwhile, it is very, very easy to do.
Thank you very much, Joe. So she says, no, okay, let the government provide mechanized farming and then maybe the youth will catch up with it and then do it. In few seconds, what's your opinion on this one?
Definitely. Everywhere in the world that agric is good, there's something called agricultural subsidy.
Yes. Do we have that in Nigeria?
Why agric? Not really. No, we don't.
And that's a big problem.
Agricultural subsidy is a big one in America. That's why they can produce of your food is how that may be expensive. Mm-hmm. Why? And it's simple.
Okay. The line is breaking up. Unfortunately. And I was about saying my goodbyes, but his line is totally hanging up now. I hope you're able to hear me as I say my goodbyes. That's it. Well, he has told you don't expect rice to get cheaper. Not this year. At least not this year. So that's a takeaway from me. For me, he says don't expect rice to get cheaper. Not this year. Maybe from next year. And I doubt next year. Maybe the next one. I doubt the next one. Maybe the next one. But I really hope that we get it all together. But thank you very much for joining the show today, Mr. Oyedemide Adeniyi. Thank you for your time on the show.
Thank you,
I hope you heard me. I see you all again tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Let's make it a date, a bubbly conversation happening here. Jimmy is in after the news at 9 with Daily Digest. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Social media is Wemimo Sport. Have a fabulous day.
This is an infomercial.
The Bureau of Public...